This is New England Public Radio News. The new boss at the Massachusetts Gaming Commission chairs her first meeting this week with no shortage of issues to tackle. I'm Sam Hudzik, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined by Matt Murphy with the State House News Service. Hey there, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for talking with us. So Governor Baker's pick to lead the Gaming Commission, Kathy Judd Stein, will chair her first meeting on Thursday. Gambling regulators need to deal with uncertainty over the Eastern Mass Resort Casino, which I think is supposed to open in just a few months. The commission also at some point will need to decide whether to award a casino license in southeastern Mass, not to mention staying on top of other casinos that are already open, like MGM in Springfield. So what tops the priority list?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of the above. She's certainly got her plate full, and they had a brief agenda-setting meeting last week, but this is her first real meeting at the head of the table of the commission, and obviously those things hanging over their head, what to do with Wynn Resorts, which, as you mentioned, slated to open in June, which is getting closer by the week. I suppose the longer this goes without a decision, the harder it gets to pull the plug if that's the route they want to go, but waiting on some court proceedings in Las Vegas to help clear the path for that. And obviously the decision in southeastern Mass, they've been kind of pushing this off for a while, but eventually it's going to come to a head and they're going to have to make a decision about whether or not they think the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe is likely to get their federal recognition and be able to build that casino, or if they're going to have to open this up to a commercial bidding process.
Okay, well, last week you also wrote about State Rep Paul Broder heading to Washington to testify about the deal that will eventually lead to a $15 minimum wage in Massachusetts. It's one thing to get that wage in Massachusetts, but did you get the sense watching the hearing that there's any appetite for a federal minimum wage up there? I mean, currently the federal minimum wage is less than half that.
Yeah, the federal minimum wage just at 7.25 now, and it's been about a decade since the last increase in the federal minimum wage. I think that was a three-phase increase that the last hike took place in 2009. So it's been a while for minimum wage workers in states that have these low minimum wages or minimum wages tied to the federal wage. Now, there's certainly an appetite among Democrats on Capitol Hill for a $15 minimum wage, but I'm not sure about its prospects overall in getting through a divided Congress and getting through the president. But Paul Broder, last session's chair of the Labor and Workforce Development Committee here on Beacon Hill, went to testify, and he argued for the benefits it has provided in Massachusetts. But we heard, you know, from members of Congress from other states raising questions about how that would work in lower cost of living states. It would stand to reason that Massachusetts could benefit from a federal wage hike because it would put Massachusetts more in lockstep with its competitor states for new businesses to locate there and for jobs to grow. But I think it could be an uphill climb to see this type of legislation get through at the federal level right now.
Finally, Matt, state legislative leaders on Beacon Hill are expected to formally announce committee assignments and leadership roles. Some of those come with pretty hefty stipends for lawmakers. Have all these been worked out behind the scenes already, or is there going to be some last-minute lobbying for those jobs?
Yeah, I mean, we're crossing our fingers here, hoping that these do get announced this week, and that's what it looks like, so that this session can really get underway and legislation can start getting assigned to these committees and the hearing process will start. You know, a lot of these positions won't change. A lot of them will be carried over from last session, but the Speaker and the Senate President both have some key decisions to make, including who chairs the powerful budget writing Ways and Means Committees in both branches. On the House side, there's openings at the Healthcare Financing Committee chairmanship, the Revenue Committee chairmanship, the Higher Ed Committee chairmanship. So a lot of moving pieces there because of retirements and other departures. And, you know, once you make one move, there's another move behind it. So that's what's probably taken some time, but these are decisions that the Speaker makes. He has private meetings with members. He talks to them about what assignments they would like to have, and then he tries to fit and slot people in to the best of his ability to match skills with the openings. But certainly a lot of lobbying has been going on for some of these top jobs.
All right, well, we will be watching all that. Matt Murphy is a reporter and associate editor at the State House News Service. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, NEPR's weekly check-in at the State House. It's also a podcast. You can subscribe at nepr.net/podcasthub. This is New England Public Radio.